Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're rolling with Jason and John. 92.9 FM ESPN. We're rolling to a new beat.
And I like it. Keep it in Memphis. John talked a little bit about that decision yesterday. We absolutely love it. It's going to give us some energy coming into the show. Not that we lack energy. John Martin brings it every day. So does Brad Carson, executive producer, program director. He's on our ones and twos. Happy Tuesday, ladies and gentlemen. It's April 16th, and that means Western Conference play-in tonight. The storylines are juicy. I got Lakers at Pelicans, obviously, and then Warriors at Kings in the nightcap. Kings sound like they're going to be a little bit shorthanded. And will that slow them down in that loser-goes-home game? Speaking of Steph and LeBron, they will indeed be part of Team USA's 2024 Paris Olympics men's basketball team. And then, of course, we had the WNBA draft last night. I also see that Penny reaching out and seeing what else he can pull in. We'll talk about that today as well. How's everyone today?
Good. Good. Lots to touch on today on the show. As you mentioned, basically, I mean, that's the rub, right? Penny, what he's doing in the portal, the play-in games tonight. We'll get into all of that today here on the show. 11:25, Jessica Benson going to join us. We'll talk to her about the Grizzlies season wrapping up and a lot more. So she'll join us at 11:25, WNBA draft, of course, last night as well, which we'll touch on. And then at 1:25, Nick Friedell from Odyssey Sports is going to join us at 1:25, and we'll get into the play-in, the playoffs. Giannis, it sounds like, is not going to make his return for at least a few games in this series against the Pacers. I don't think it much is going to matter because I think the Pacers are a very unserious playoff team. And so we'll talk about that with Nick and more at 1:25. So that is the show today. But like we usually do early to start the week, let's do a little cap or no cap.
Cap. It means lion, but built different now. It's cap.
I'm going to say cap.
For no cap.
I'm going to say that's no cap.
On 92.9's Jason and John Show.
All right, let's get into it on this edition. You are encouraged by Memphis's start in the transfer portal.
Well, why don't you start with the latest before we weigh in?
What is the latest? The latest is Kobe Rogers committed to the University of Memphis on Sunday, making him the third commit of the class. They have reached out to lots of different players. Mark Freeman, the latest from Morehead State. Devon Barnes from Sam Houston State. Aaron Scott from North Texas came in on a visit this past weekend. John Bugs III from North Texas is scheduled to visit at some point this week. So that is sort of how it looks right now. They're involved with Arturo Dean from Florida International. Stop me when you hear me say a power league school. But yes, that is where we are right now in the transfer portal for Memphis right now.
Mark Freeman, former Southwind standout. Last year was at Morehead State, but how much he played is had an injury, and I think didn't he miss the tournament because of that? I have to catch up on it, but Mark Freeman was once a pretty good point guard here out of Memphis. I know where you're going, and we talked about it yesterday in terms of, you know, the kinds of guys that Penny is reaching out to, and it seems in many cases it's at a level, you know, lower or the same level. And does that move the needle nationally in a year that you definitely need to do that, right? I get it. And listen, and this comes, too, after you try to get two freshmen in here by the name of Billy Richmond III, two future, you know, rising freshmen, and Billy Richmond III and Curtis Givens III, you missed on those guys. And that was a deal where you were in it till the end. So I can't tell you that Memphis basketball recruiting is sizzling right now.
Right.
Do I like the start that it's off to? That was the cap or no cap, right?
Right. Are you encouraged? You are encouraged.
I'll go cap. But not to say, this is all wrong.
That you're discouraged.
It's to say that I'm neutral right now. And again, this is not because I don't do this typically. But I'm going to, based on previous experience, based on last year. Hell, we thought he was doing it all right on paper. We liked the team, and then it went to hell. I'm going to say that I'm not encouraged or discouraged right now. I'm gonna wait and see.
Right.
I'm going to wait and see.
Yeah, listen, I think it's a conversation.
Say what you feel, John.
I think it's a conversation, and some of y'all seem too sensitive to be able to have it. You know,
Varlis is saying he think Mark missed the whole season.
Right,
broken
yeah.
wrist.
Yeah,
thank
he,
you,
he didn't play
Varlis.
Last year.
Yeah.
You know, listen, this could all fit together beautifully. I'm not opposed to that happening. I'm not opposed to that being a possibility. I mean, you're talking about guys that shot – you know, 37% from three in Aaron Scott, 40% from, 45% from three in John Buck's case, if you end up landing those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Kobe Rogers is a good player in a vacuum, in and of himself. He's a good player. You know, nobody is saying that, or at least put up numbers, right? At least put up good numbers. It's hard for me to say you're a good player when you play against AAC teams. It's hard to really evaluate how truly good you are. But Kansas was involved. And I think, you know, Michigan was involved. So he was pursued by power league teams. But this is a year where Memphis has to get back to the NCAA tournament or we're going into absolutely uncharted territory, right? A place that nobody wanted to go.
Really dangerous territory if you don't.
Right. And so what this is kind of coming down to is Penny is putting – in the hands of players who have never been to the NCAA tournament, his fate that rests on getting back to the NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you going to ask a bunch of dudes that have never done it to do it at the same time? You know, we're not talking about picking one up here, there, in between, everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about assembling an entire team of players outside of Dane Danger that has never been to the NCAA tournament in bad leagues, right?
Mm.
I mean, the AAC was the ninth conference in America in terms of net. It was barely ahead of the Missouri Valley. It was behind the A-10. It was maybe a decimal point ahead of the Missouri Valley. And so we're gonna poach players from these teams. We're gonna go Sam Houston State. We're gonna go Morehead State. We're going to go Florida International. These are losing programs. These are losing teams, right? And so if you can't see where I'm coming from on that, you just don't want to see it, which I respect. I respect. It's a tough conversation. Again, I'm not saying
I don't think it's a tough conversation at all.
Well, for some people it seems
you don't like it. Let's wait and see.
I'm just not.
I don't think 2 years ago we liked Elijah McCadden or anything. We were kind of in the same boat. We were saying, is this going to work or anything else? And it came together. Now, DeAndre Williams and Kendrick Davis is a big part of that.
And you don't have a
1-2 like that right now for sure.
Right.
And so I can't make the same, that it's the same thing.
Right.
But could it go down the same path? You and I had the discussion. you know, you got to go out and get some role guys and have a pecking order sort of established as you go in, know who the right guys are. And if you go get all these guys from, take your pick, Big 12, whatever else, you know, that for whatever reason were ready to transfer and they're coming down, which I think is what you're saying, you don't think there's enough of that right now.
Right.
You do all that. What do they all think? They all think they got to be the man here.
Well, that's
because they're coming from a bigger conference. And that gets back into some of the
chemistry. There are pros and cons, right, to every approach.
So, again, I think what you're – just like I told you yesterday, your concern is absolutely fair and could bear out to be the case. Man, this thing's falling off.
Yeah.
Look at where Memphis basketball is now and look at the type of players it's bringing in.
Yeah.
Could very well get there. I'd also say a scenario where – it works out because what I said, the most important thing right now isn't so, and we said this before he even got anybody, isn't going to be for me, at least, the names as much as it is how do the pieces fit. And again, big part of this conversation too, it looks a lot better if David Jones is back.
Right.
Okay, all of this.
Which I'm not expecting.
I mean, which is fine.
Yeah.
You got to bake that in there.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, no David Jones, it looks a lot worse. If David Jones here,
yeah,
if he turns down whatever it is that they're offering because he feels like he can make more in the NBA. Yeah, then it's a tougher road.
Yeah.
No question, especially with what it looks like you're bringing in.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily saying that this is going to be bad. I'm just posing like, is this the right approach? Is this going to be enough?
As opposed to
when you look back at Memphis recruiting classes,
yeah,
right? Elijah McCadden was one guy, right? It wasn't a team
It wasn't like Keontae Kennedy was coming from some great conference. I mean, like, he was
the same thing.
It was just, you know, another role guy.
Yeah, but I mean, you brought in Chandler Lawson from Oregon. You brought in Kendrick Davis from SMU, and you knew he's a player of the year. You had players that had proven that they'd be good enough to win at Memphis, and DeAndre Williams, Alex Lomax, other guys on the team. You know, mm-hmm. You don't have that this year.
Yeah.
You are talking about guys, historically with Memphis, it has either been guys who have been good enough to be on draft boards, or they've proven to be good enough to win at a level that Memphis expects. Right now, they have none of that. They have neither box checked. They have guys that are not on any draft boards, and they have guys that have not proven that they can win enough at a level that Memphis expects.
Sure.
And so if you can't see the concerns there, like I saw a tweet from Will, the dude on Twitter, who is clamoring for Penny to get fired after every three-pointer that the other team makes last season, saying that you can't question Penny because of these. Bro, get your head out of your ass. Like, look at yourself. Like, this is a discussion about recruiting takes, period. Memphis has recruited at a super high level under Penny Hardaway.
Mm.
This is noticeable. This is a noticeable shift.
But recruiting at a super high level ain't gotten us anything either.
I totally agree.
Nothing.
That doesn't mean you should stop recruiting at a high level.
No, it doesn't. And you know that's not what I'm suggesting.
Right.
But the overload of Penny's approach to talent, 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 as opposed to fit, 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 fit.
Absolutely
is why you're in this boat right now going into, what is it, year seven. That's part of it.
Now, I will say, just because they're less talented doesn't necessarily mean they'll fit better.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like,
P.J. Haggerty's putting up those numbers against the AAC doesn't mean he's not going to come here and be a great player for you.
Yes. No, I think it's just we're talking about what Penny is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in 3 weeks, he could, you know, get the best player in the portal. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
He could do that. He's done it before. You know?
Well, I mean, Haggerty, according to On3, is one of those guys.
Yeah. But again, with Haggerty, I'm taking a skeptical eye with him.
You are.
Yeah.
Again, others are higher.
Yeah.
Others have got him.
I just think as it relates to, like, he's going to be the man at Memphis. He was the man at Tulsa. They won 16 games. You know?
Again, that's you're baking in that David is gone.
Right.
Because if he's not, then he's the two. He's
exactly.
The 1-2 punch.
If David Jones comes back, this all looks, I would say, 2-3-fold better. Right? It looks that much better.
I'm going to say, he's got the same route as Lester, it appears. But it'll be a lot more money that he's turning down to go that route if he does it than was offered to Lester.
Yes.
That's why that still feels like a possibility to me.
Yes.
Like a good one. I don't know. We haven't gone back to – nobody's gone back to Penny and asked him what that percentage is now.
Right.
But the other part about this is you won't know till later on in the summer.
Yeah, listen, it's a commentary on you could love it, you could not love it. It may work out, it may not. You know, I just think for me, I feel less confident in it because of – the makeup of where these players are coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I think that's perfectly fair.
They're not coming from winning leagues and they're not coming from winning programs. Maybe it come. They come to Memphis. They get together, and Penny has a way to put it all together, and it does. You know, but that it just never happened. Mm-hmm. And so I would just say I'm skeptical of it. But we shall see. That's the beauty of it. And I think it's definitely a conversation. And I think that if you don't think that Penny Hardaway can be questioned, well, especially considering you know who it's coming from. Man, sit your ass down, boy.
That sounds like between you and Will.
Sit your ass down, boy.
That doesn't apply to this table.
Whip your ass, boy. The Lakers will throw the game tonight against the Pelicans. Cap or no cap?
It's cap. They're gonna attempt to squash the Pelicans. And what I said yesterday is exactly what Brian Windhorst tried to apply today. The likelihood is you will not be beating the Denver Nuggets. But you are better off catching them early than you are catching them late if you were the Lakers. So there is no reason to run here. There is no reason to play with the attempt fate, as you put it yesterday, mess around with the basketball gods, as I've put it. There is no need to do that tonight and put yourself in a, you know, losing your out situation against the loser of Sacramento Golden State. You go take care of business. You're probably going to have to play Denver at some point. Probably better off catching them early than it is catching them. Here's the other thing. Look at the Lakers' side. You catch them late, where are they from a health standpoint? Anthony Davis already coming in here, it looks like, with a bad back.
Right.
So if you're going to have to face them anyway, better not play with it. They're going to go out there and try to squash the Pelicans, and I believe they will.
Yeah. I don't know. I think you're trying to thread a needle there.
Denver didn't play well down the stretch as it is, losing to San Antonio and everything else. I'd rather get them right now than in a rhythm.
Because there's no guarantee they would, like, there's no guarantee they would win. You know, Anthony Davis has never beaten Domantas Sabonis. Did you know that? He's 0-10 against Sabonis.
Had no idea.
Yeah. So it's not weird like stat. It's not like you're sitting here saying, oh, let's just tank and you know, throw this game and
again, you
take
get
our chances.
You really going to let Sacramento come into the crypto and lose? Sacramento that right now doesn't have Malik Monk and Werder? I think, too.
I'm
Kevin
just saying, you wouldn't,
Herter?
You're not going into this saying,
bet not.
We're gonna lose this game, and take our chances. You know, you're gonna try to win. You may not win, but you're gonna try to win the damn game because you're trying to thread a needle there. And then you're in an elimination game, and anything can happen. 48 minutes. So
Lakers have lost 8 straight to the Nuggets. To argue the other side.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing, right? I mean that's not. It's not.
It's not just those four.
You're not beating the Nuggets in the first round series. But you're also not.
You ain't beating them late.
Right. So you might as well just take
your medicine.
So you might
as well not run. You're LeBron James and Anthony Davis and the Los Angeles Lakers. You really going to lose to try to get a better matchup?
Yeah, I don't even know if you can do that. I really don't. I think you're just ego. There's no guarantees on the other side of that. So I would say no. I would say that the Lakers will not throw the game tonight. All right, the Kings will end the Warriors dynasty tonight.
Well, it probably won't end tonight, so I'm going to go ahead and say that's cap, even if they lose. And here's what I mean. What they're going to do is cut Chris Paul loose. I think it's either a player or a team. I think it's a team option. And then they're going to ask Clay to take a massive, massive pay cut to try to keep it together, retool for next year. And, again, they probably do deserve that chance. We're going to see this again next year. Little bit, you know, retooled, but with the core, and that's when we'll decide if the dynasty's over. Understand what I'm saying? It's not getting dismantled tonight if they lose to the Kings. Chris Paul won't be back. It's 30-something million bucks, and then you cut Clay down. That frees up 50-something million, whatever. They'll be able to retool. They'll come back mostly the same core. We will decide next year whether the dynasty is over. See what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I agree.
It don't end tonight. Even if they lose.
I can't see it.
But it probably is. That's the other part. The dynasty is probably over. Let's be real.
Clay's going to hit, you know, free agency and all that.
It won't close the coffin on it until next year.
I don't think the Warriors lose tonight. I mean, I would just be shocked if the Kings are the ones that do it. I think the Kings are pretty mediocre. Now, if Malik Monk was in this game, who averaged 19 a game in the first round series a year ago and was just absolutely crucial, I would say yes. I think they very well could do it. And I think if this was a 7-game series, the Kings could win this game tonight, but this is an elimination game, and there's no replacing Malik Monk for the Sacramento Kings on that roster, mm-hmm. and the Warriors bench is much better than a year ago. You know, they were having to play Kevon Looney 30-plus minutes in that first-round series a year ago. They've now switched that up completely. They got Trace Jackson Davis out there at the five, who's a lot more mobile, a lot more, you know, capable of doing different things. You know, you're bringing Chris Paul off the bench, Podziemski.
Yep.
You know, it just – it frees up, you know, a lot of the offensive ability, you know, when you have options. Kuminga has also taken a massive step from a year ago. You know, he's averaging, you know, in the high teens, you know, compared to a year ago.
Yeah, looks like a player now.
So I just and what have the Kings done other than really kind of get worse? I mean, could Harrison Barnes go off for 40? Could De'Aaron Fox have one of those games? Sure. But in a game like this where it's like, like the Warriors cannot lose this game or their season is done and their entire potential dynasty and their run is over,
yeah,
they're not losing to the Sacramento Kings. I just don't think that's happening. It would truly, Jason, especially when you take into consideration how they've played.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this team is as good as anybody in the league since January, and this is also not a year ago when they were awful on the road. This team's been really freaking good on the road this year. They know the Sacramento Kings bunch really well.
Yeah, they know how to play Sabonis.
I'd be shocked. I'd be shocked if they lose tonight. Really would be. All right, finally, Chicago Sky and not the Indiana Fever had the best draft in the WNBA last night.
Oh, that is correct, because we got Camilla Cardoso, the stud 6'7 center from South Carolina, and we also got Angel Reese. And I say we because I'm in. Invested. I've never really been a Chicago Sky fan other than the time our man, James Wade.
Never fade, James Wade.
Was the head coach. He is no longer the head coach. Now I'm really in. But because think about that, and Carmelo Cardozo said it last night. How are you going to rebound against her and Angel Reese on the same damn team? You know, how are you going to do that? I love what the Chicago Sky did yesterday. They had to move up to get Angel Reese. I think it was a trade with Minnesota or something like that. I was watching last night. I actually really enjoyed the WNBA draft. It was the first time I heard from the host that they had actually charged admission for tickets, sold out 15 minutes, place was packed, and it moved. It moved very quickly. The time in between picks was great, and I just loved seeing these young women go up and take their place, man, hopefully soon to be great. This was an unbelievable class with Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, Cardoso, many others, and yeah, they took women's basketball to a different level, certainly NCAA women's basketball, and it was good to see them crowned last night to all get their moment.
Yeah, I think it was a pretty cool scene last night, just Caitlin Clark becoming the first WNBA draft pick to be outfitted by Prada. I don't know if you saw that.
I saw her outfit.
She's a star ever since the word.
Yeah, I didn't think it was too, you know, if you're going to do Prada, I just thought some of the other outfits were better.
Okay, all right. Hey,
if we're going, yeah.
Just making history, you know. That's all we
get
can
my Joan Rivers out.
That's all we can do is just make
judge
history
the fashion here.
But
did you see what Angel Reese had on?
Mm-mm.
Most of them had on, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
They're exposed up top.
Mm-hmm.
It was a trend.
Yeah. Big fan of Nika Mühl. I think Nika Mühl is going to be one of the big stars in the WNBA. A lot of people don't know. Just an absolute. She's the queen of clamps. There's no doubt about that. My UConn guard there, I think she is just a special talent. She's a special bro.
That was weird.
YouTube, yeah. Bro. She was a key to the run for the UConn Huskies, bro.
The young lady from Tennessee,
the Croatian sensation,
Rakia Jackson?
No, I was really just focused on Caitlin and Nika, but I'm open to, you know, your observations. You know what I'm saying?
I'm just saying they were all so it's different.
Yes.
It's not like watching our NFL draft or NBA draft where they go up there, got the shiny suits on.
Yes.
These were unbelievable outfits.
Yes,
that
they
these
were.
Young women were wearing.
Well, it was a special class, you know. I mean, this really sort of feels like the generation that, you know, maybe changed women's basketball, that we may look back at this class as the group that...
They change it or they just take it to another level?
Sure, uplifted, however you want to say it. I mean, I think they definitely, they drew attention that otherwise maybe would not have existed.
1,000%.
Got some eyeballs that would not have existed on this sport. And, you know, listen, I don't know if it will translate. I think that will be the interesting thing. College to NBA, WNBA, will they still be there, right? Will the interest follow them? I don't know. I think that will be the interesting thing. But
Indiana's going to try to make it happen because they're, you know, those games will be televised in a way that they hadn't been.
I mean, I assume that if you're in Indiana and you can go, you will buy season tickets to the Indiana Fever just to see Caitlin Clark. That's what I would assume, right?
My cousin in Chicago says she's buying Sky season tickets to
see
That's what I'm saying.
The Twin
Towers. It ain't just all about Caitlin Clark.
I know. But it's, you know.
Dude, Angel Reese and Camilla on the same team is crazy.
That is crazy.
You will not get a rebound.
I mean, you have the Aces.
One of them set a career. Didn't they have just like 17 and 20 rebounds between them in that game or something like that?
You have the Aces. You have the Fever. You have the Sky.
Well, they say the Aces are so far. That's all I kept hearing.
I know that's what they say, but.
Oh, no, just so far out ahead of everybody else. Maybe
the Liberty. Right?
They got Inescu, correct? Yes.
And
I'm catching up, bro. I'm jumping in.
Don't forget Stewie.
Four-time NCAA champion.
So you have, I mean, yeah, it's starting to be, you know, there's real star power all over the WNBA. And I think that will create more parity, which will create more interest. That would be my guess. So anyway, yeah, it was a cool night last night.
It was.
In the WNBA draft. Lots of intriguing stars going off to the WNBA. All right, we will come back. Jessica Benson is going to join us on the other side. Talk to her about Grizz season ending, wrapping up. A little WNBA and more. Jason and John, how do you turn to FM? Yes.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Jessica Benson is the host of the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt on Grind City Media, part of the Grizz Radio Network, and woman. Joins us every Tuesday, joins us now. Hello, Jessica. How are we doing?
I, woman, am doing quite well. How are you today?
I empowerment. I love it.
I mean, I'm sitting here rocking a WNBA orange hoodie, so get on board.
Yeah, I have a WNBA shirt. A lot of people don't know that. A lot of people think that I'm. A lot of people think that I get kind of accused of being a sort of xenophobe, a bigot, you know. And I just wanted everybody to know that I do in fact have a WNBA shirt. It is black, and the logo is orange. Okay, so you know, that's a huge blow in the case for a lot of people today. There's no doubt about it. All right, the Grizz season is over. It's complete,
yes,
which means your duties with the Grizz Radio Network are also complete. How challenging was that season to sit through? I mean, it is. I mean, just on a personal level, on a human level.
I will say, I was talking to someone yesterday, and they said, you know, honestly, the season went by pretty fast, and I was stopped in my tracks, and I said, kindly, no, it did not. And there's a difference between kind of half engaging and, you know, I write 41 pregame shows every season for all the home games and throw in the preseason games as well. And writing towards the end, just hashing out the injury report night in and night out was certainly a challenge. Finding storylines was a challenge. But I will say I have a deep, true amount of gratitude to how the Grizzlies handled such a difficult season, because they could have just punted. I mean, there could have been nothing to grasp onto throughout the latter half of the season. And instead, we were able to focus on things like Gigi Jackson and before Vince Williams Jr. went down, and then even finding further diamonds in the two-way rough and Scottie Pippen Jr. and what Lamar Stevens or a Trey Jemison could be. So I appreciate that, but I won't sugarcoat it. It was a difficult year. This was my first year since joining the Grizzlies of them not making some semblance of the postseason. The first year was the COVID year and the bubble. But even then, they were in the first iteration of the play-in game. So this was challenging, and I look forward to having a team back next year that hopefully is not done the second weekend in April.
What did you find most interesting or most important out of the things said yesterday in the breakdown or, you know, exit interviews, whatever we want to call them?
Well, I think there's a couple areas that you can go with it. And the one that probably raises the biggest of eyebrows is the Jaren Jackson Jr. piece of it and, you know, going after and adding a big and making no secret that they are looking at adding a big. And I say that's the most newsy piece simply from a matter of that's what Grizzlies fans have been talking about all season long because of the position that Jaren Jackson Jr. was thrust in this season and, you know, having his usage rate be so high and having to be the center on this team and playing more in that five role and the understanding that, sure, and I saw some people, this is the problem with aggregating quotes, but especially when it came to Zach Kleiman's quote yesterday of we're in the best position if Jaren is playing center, but he went on to say, whatever you want to call it, I think we see the value of having a more traditional or true big, and we've seen Jaren successful with those types of lineups as well. So it really led to the ambiguity of Jaren not being definitively a four or a five. He's both. And so it could mean, you know, who you're finding to pair up with him in a starting lineup might not be who closes the game as we continue to see how well he and Brandon Clark work together. And you had Brandon Clark even coming out and saying yesterday that he sees Jaren more as a four and he himself likes to come off the bench. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. And I think the Grizzlies are just looking to have that versatility in the front court at the end of the day.
Talking to Jessica Benson, joins us every single Tuesday here on the show. All right, the rest of the NBA, let's get into the play-in tonight. Do you suspect that either the Lakers and or both maybe, the Warriors end up losing tonight? How do you see these two games going in the play-in?
It feels like it's going to be Lakers-Warriors both emerging. I do think from a Warriors perspective, and I know I can always give you guys the inside look at living with a real, true Golden State Warriors fan. I mean, he kind of just wants it to be done. Like, I know by the time the game comes tonight, I think he'll surely get into it because I've seen that happen time and time again. But there's almost this feeling of why hang on for the inevitable, just rip the Band-Aid off and not have to get put into a first-round series where they don't necessarily feel as if they have any chance whatsoever. But you also have a Kings team that, you know, just they're too shorthanded. The injuries to Monk and Herter, for me, especially in a one-game single elimination against a rested Steph Curry, it just doesn't feel like a good matchup for them. For the Lakers-Pelicans, it'll just be interesting from a standpoint of do the Lakers in that game, like, do they try their best based on who they would face in the next matchup? Because I think just based on talent alone and, you know, I'm not going to bet against LeBron James, even though the Lakers barely struggled to put away Jack White and Jordan Goodwin and Scottie Pippen Jr. last week. It's still LeBron. It's still Anthony Davis. So if I had to pick tonight, it would be Lakers and the Warriors both getting the wins.
Who is the biggest threat to Denver? And realizing it, you know, and I say that with the Lakers having lost the last eight to them, and I think half of those are by double digits. I mean, they've been dominated of late by Denver, but maybe it's them. Maybe it's somebody in your eyes out of the West. Who's the biggest threat?
The healthy Clippers, but how many times have we said that in our existence? I mean, it feels like the most evergreen playoff take of all evergreen playoff takes, and even already, you know, wondering what the health of Kawhi Leonard is going into their first-round matchup against the Mavs. And sure, it would be, you know, fantastic to see Luka and Kawhi battle at it, but everything that hinges for the Clippers, we've seen how well they've worked. We saw the integration of James Harden into this thing with Kawhi, with Paul George. Can they stay healthy? I think they're right there as one of the teams that should be favored going into the Western Conference Finals. It's just such a big if, and it continues to be, you know, Clippers versus the playoffs year in, year out.
Yeah, we were talking before we brought you on about the WNBA draft and just sort of the scene of it all and just how, you know, how different it all feels, you know, just because it feels like an event now. Not that it happened. Previous WNBA drafts happened, but it just felt like we were tuned in and attuned in a different way, you know, this year. So my question is this something that you think can persist? Is this something that you think, okay, it's here now, you know, our eyes are on it, and they're going to stay that way?
I do, because I think there is a greater understanding of everybody involved that they have to make things like this an event. Like, a draft night is a draft night. We all tune into the NBA draft. We all tune into the NFL draft. But at the end of the day, it's not a game. It's just, it's an event. And when you put the WNBA in a position where all of these young women are, you know, they get to show off their style, the looks left. I saw so many friends of mine who do not cover sports, not just cover sports, but don't really engage in the sports space a whole lot. And they were all in the Instagram comments of Angel Reese's hooded gown and Cameron Brink's, I say respectively, super long legs, like the legs that ZZ Top once wrote about. And just to see that, like, made me really happy because it showed that there was kind of this crossing over from this just being a sports event that generally had not gotten a whole lot of eyeballs to it to almost shifting into a pop culture space with it, too. So I think that'll help. And I think people within the WNBA and the players involved understand you can't just put out a good product with good players, which they have been doing. Like, the league is in a healthy enough place that this influx of new players that an audience is more familiar with, thanks to the popularity of the NCAA tournament this year, you can place those players in. Granted, they have to go out and make these rosters because that's the next most frustrating thing about the WNBA is there's only 12 teams and a lot of young women who were drafted last night won't even find themselves on a roster on opening night. But you take the Caitlin Clark, you take Camila Cordosa, you take Angel Reese, and I mean, immediately I would want to watch the Fever versus the Sky here in year one with all of those rookies going at it. So there just feels as if there's a worthy attention momentum shift where you have attachment to the players. That's big, right? And then there has to be fun and there has to be storyline. And if you keep pushing those forward, people will eventually watch.
I think Jaren would get 2 rebounds against the Chicago Sky with Cardoso and Reese. What say you?
I think he really feels personally about it. He might get 3.
Maybe 3.
He might try his best.
School me.
Crazy. And I get it. Before someone comes in my car, I'll Jaren Jackson Jr. 7 feet tall.
I didn't mean to get you into that. I really didn't. I really didn't, and I won't. But you did talk about Angel Reese's gown, which I want to talk about. School me on that. A hooded, sparkly Bronx and Banco gown. I thought she had the edgiest look. Am I right?
Her look was my look of the night. I immediately thought Whitney Houston, The Bodyguard. I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, hooded gowns really made a comeback in like Fashion Week, and a bunch of designers were doing something with hooded gowns. But I loved the sparkles. I loved the backless. I thought she was a standout. I thought Rakia Jackson from Tennessee, who did a outfit change. She was in this red look on the orange carpet, and then she had the cool tinted sunglasses and a sparkly suit with an under bralette thing going on. And then Caitlin Clark, like, it's probably not my favorite look, but the iconic nature of being the first athlete, male or female, to be asked to wear head-to-toe Prada at a draft night.
I didn't realize men applied to that. Yeah, I want to focus on that. I want to focus on just the outfit that Caitlin Clark had on, because as you mentioned, it was history in the making. I just want to break it down just a little bit, what we were dealing with here. Embroidered rhinestone mesh crop top, okay, under a boxy satin shirt.
Rhinestone.
Double satin mini skirt, black brushed leather slingback pumps, okay, no question about that. The acetate sunglasses, whoo! Man, the Prada Galleria patent leather mini bag. You have got to be kidding me. Slay, queen. Slay.
You know, you. Thank you. Period.
Period.
John.
Slay.
When you have a purse that is that tiny, you know that you're rich because you don't have to worry about putting your things in that. Someone else can take care of that for you. So,
tiny bag, girl.
I saw somewhere that it was somewhere around, like, the whole outfit was $17,000 overall. So you live your best.
No doubt. Well, she didn't pay for that. She didn't pay for that.
Let me ask you something.
No, of course not.
About fashion. Can we help Kim Mulkey? Because I think we need to update her. You know, that stuff she's wearing?
I think Kim Mulkey is just, as we've discussed, she's so comfortable being herself.
It's true.
And of all the things that I might knock Kim Mulkey for, I cannot knock her for being committed to wearing what she wants to wear. And I did think it was sweet to see her and Angel Reese share the hug.
They really did. I watched that. She squeezed her tight. She really did. She loves her.
And I think Angel Reese had like an arm out, not to fully dissect the hug, but because Angel Reese's dress was so strategically being held in place, I'll put it that way.
Yep, I saw it.
I think she had to be very careful on the full embrace. But it was nice to see all the coaches there last night. Like, I thought that was a cool thing, and we see it every draft, and I get super suckered into the emotional side of the draft. But honestly, I've never watched the entirety of the WNBA draft. I'll usually tap in for a couple
Women hating on women. You know, you hate to see it.
No, but I think that's such a symbol of, like, my husband and I sat down, and we had it on throughout. I mean, we had it on while we were cooking dinner. We had it on while we were eating dinner. And I think that's very cool. I really do sincerely hope that it carries over into more eyes, more attention on the WNBA this season. I myself am guilty of, once we get to the WNBA season, we've made it through the college basketball season, we've made it through the NBA, through the playoffs. Sometimes there's a sports fatigue there. It's one of the many, many reasons why I don't get fully invested in the baseball season. I kind of need a break. But I'm hopeful that this year there's enough oomph there that just kind of pushes you through the season. And the Olympics are going to be in the middle of the WNBA season too, which is kind of a nice catalyst.
Right. No, it's going to be a great summer. Do you think that Memphis would and should have a WNBA team? I feel like they would do a really good job here. I feel like they would have a lot of support in Memphis for because I just feel like the girls' basketball scene here is pretty big. And it doesn't really get talked about enough. So do you think how soon do you think we get a WNBA team here, and what should we call them?
Let's put our bid for the expansion. We think they should be called the Memphis Soul. It feels so simple. Someone on our show, we have a live chat on the YouTube version of our show, someone said they should be the Memphis Womanes, and I can't get behind that. Or the Memphis Chicks, that feels not right as well. But I like the Memphis Soul.
I like
Soul.
Memphis Chicks.
Or I kind of like, someone's the Memphis Pharaohs, and then all of a sudden I was like, can we get Angel Reese in the expansion draft, and then we can take that picture of her in her Dune dress and put it in front of the Bass Pro Pyramid and call it good. I think in terms of the support, it always takes time to build, but Memphis is truly a community that lives and breathes for basketball. Like, when I first moved here, I sat down in a meeting with the general manager of the local TV station, Local 24, when I was interviewing to come here, and he said, this is Hoop City, USA. That was the sell. And I'm like, sweet, sign me up. And once I got here, you really see how it's just completely embedded in the Memphis culture. It's in everything. And so I would like to think that the support would be pretty organic here in Memphis. Yeah. And we've seen how the city rallies behind the Grizzlies. And if you do happen to catch the WNBA on this upswing right now where there is more attention to it, it would be good timing. So everyone has put Nashville as one of those cities. I know the WNBA commissioner came out. It was Toronto and Philly and Nashville. And
damn,
I think
it.
Denver was on the list. Why not Memphis? Let's start the movement.
Yeah, Mark Davis bought the Las Vegas
Aces.
Did you
see who he bought it from?
I did see that.
Oh, my God.
Perfect. He bought them. He bought the Aces, Jason, from George Kliavkoff.
Really? I didn't know he bought them from George.
Who, of course,
I knew he owns
the curator of the death
killer
of the Pac-12. Yeah. And what are the Aces worth now?
A lot of money.
They're worth like $150 million now, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay, sorry.
He'll need all that to pump into the cash-poor Raiders.
So they were, okay, so they are worth now, I think I might have inflated that, but it looks like as
of $14 million.
Yeah, $14 million. He paid $2 million. So, I mean, I think they one day will be worth $155 million. But for now, I mean, he's already, you know, 7X'd his investment in less than, what, two, 3 years?
Right. And with all this attention on, like, Caitlin Clark and the Fever, I mean, the Aces are the reigning champions.
That's right.
They have Becky Hammon as their coach. They have Asia Wilson, who's one of the faces of the league. And they were the first team this offseason that sold out their season ticket allotment going into a WNBA season. So, they're built. They're fun. I like. They have Candace Parker now too. That's another name.
Yeah, I mean, but a parity is good for that league. I just think there's, you know, it can't just be a two team race every single year going into it. And I think now that you're talking about, you know, the sky with what they're doing and the Fever coming, you know, plus you have the next generation of Beckers and Morrow. I mean, this is definitely
Seattle trying to come back. Las Vegas. I mean, the Sparks in Los Angeles trying to get back into the mix. You have Brink, you have Urquia Jackson.
Yeah.
There's a lot of players to start rooting for, and I think that's the easiest way for people to actually become invested is being invested
Absolutely.
In the personalities.
Women!
You mentioned
women!
Yep, women. We seem like we're doing it every week. I don't know. John brings it up every week.
Well, Jessica Benson is a woman!
I know, but I don't think people need to be reminded
of it.
She's a
proud
woman. Know, yeah. But we're going to remind
them. We don't have International Women's Month anymore. It's Women's Year.
Every Tuesday on this show, it's going to be International Women's 15, 20 minutes.
Perfect. and then we're cut off.
You mentioned the Olympics. Did Team USA, did Grant Hill, has he gotten it right so far with the 11 he's got? I know there's some, you know, some people saying that they felt like Jaren was snubbed. So.
Well, Jaren lost his spot to Joel Embiid, so who are you going to pick? The guy was on track to win MVP and having a historic season before his injury. It's you know, it's tough. You obviously want Jaren Jackson Jr. to have a chance to be on that stage. I'm more concerned, truly, with Tyrese Haliburton over Jalen Brunson. I am on the team Jalen Brunson of it all. I really like the Knicks going into this postseason. I just think he brings a steadiness that could have added and contributed to the old heads who are rallying around to make sure that we don't lose to Canada. We cannot have Dylan Brooks have a gold medal at the end of this summer in Paris. And other than that, I think it's cool. It'll be must-watch TV, and obviously USA, if they don't win, it will be excruciating.
I had the same take until I looked at the stats and realized that for that team with all those scores, Haliburton, who averaged 5.6 assists and had some double-digit assist games and shot like 48% from three, is probably the better pick than Brunson, who's more the scorer, right? They don't need that on this team.
They need strictly facilitating. That's true.
Yep.
They don't need anyone who's out there.
Because I was with you. I'm like, Brunson should have been on this team with the way he led them last year. But when I looked at the stats and the fit, it's probably a better fit with Haliburton. So.
And I'm sure that went into thought. Because that's the other – I mean, the ego. It's like even just thinking of the starting lineup, you're like, okay, who's coming off the bench for this group? Because you're certainly – when you have to start Steph, LeBron, KD, and then you're starting
Embiid.
Haliburton as your starting guard, and Embiid or Anthony Davis.
Or AD, yeah.
I mean, it feels like you have to start Embiid, but you really just need Embiid to stand back there and block some shots. Like, I don't want him to get hurt during the Olympics either.
Yeah. Hey, Jessica, you're the best. Thank you for
being
here.
Thank you so much, Jessica.
Thanks,
thank you for the time every week here on the show.
Appreciate it. Talk to you next time.
She's Jessica Benson. Catch her on Grind City Media, the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt, Grizzly Network in season. There you have it. That's Jessica Benson. Yeah, I'm always happy to, you know, celebrate, you know, for the woke left, celebrate the women. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Got to do that. Got to check that box. So
appreciate you reminding us every week.
Yeah, man. It's
that
just
Jess is woman.
Hear her roar. I love it, man. Nah, this is this
phenomenal
is,
woman.
I was,
you ever heard that poem? Isn't that the name of that poem?
Maya.
Yeah. We should play that when Jess comes on every week.
Okay.
Phenomenal woman.
Should we have Brad do like a dramatic reading?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's have Brad.
Have you ever read the poem Phenomenal Woman, Brad? It's fantastic.
I don't think I've read Phenomenal Woman.
It is fantastic.
Is it? Yeah, I'm sure it's widely distributed on the internet.
Oh, yeah, you can find it.
Yeah, for sure.
Phenomenal Woman, that's me.
Four poems celebrating women by Maya Angelou.
Okay.
Jess, Phenomenal Woman.
Phenomenal!
What? Quick sentence. What is meant by phenomenal woman? A woman who does not fit societal standards of beauty yet is extremely attractive because of the way her strength, power, and femininity are projected with confidence.
Amen. Could not have said it better myself.
That's her.
Love women. You know, the movement that, I mean, it is.
Who were you a fan of again last night?
Caitlin Clark.
No. There was another one before her.
Nika.
The one you really fell
Nika
for.
Mule.
Okay, I'm going to have to look.
Croatian sensation.
Yeah.
Do y'all know that Helen Reddy song? I am strong, I am powerful, I am woman.
Yeah.
Maybe so.
This is from 1971. This is the song I was thinking of when you were saying that. It's pure poetry.
Yeah,
A little country.
Slightly country. It's an old school throwback here, but this is a.
This is more folky.
Hear me roar. Hear me roar.
I heard this song.
Yes. This is what I kind of went through my head as you were going through that, John.
Yeah, Nika Mule was definitely, I mean, I'm not trying to, like, be, I don't want to overstep, but she is the greatest
Mule
player I've ever seen. Yes.
M-U-H-L, okay.
Yeah, she's a beast, man.
That's
she's
the UConn player, yeah.
She's a Croatian sensation.
The fashion was ridiculous, but 17 million seems slightly excessive for an outfit.
17,000.
Oh, nobody went million.
Sorry.
Come on now. Wimby ain't making that much this season. As
17
I
million?
Sorry, 17,000.
But yeah, you know.
I just don't remember that standing out. But I guess I didn't stick around until 14 either.
Yeah.
She was the 14th pick?
Well, yeah, but you don't have to say it like that. You ain't got to say it, bro.
That's not lottery in the WNBA.
Is that second round?
As you know.
Second round, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
You know what was enlightening?
That's tough, man.
Is it 12 picks or 11?
How many teams are there?
11 or 12.
Well, then it can't be first, bro.
That's what I'm telling.
How many WNBA?
I just asked you.
Kate Martin got drafted. Our friend Kate Martin
I think I'm gonna go the Iowa guard, the non.
She's Caitlin. Your friend. I don't know what.
What you mean? You, she's my friend.
You had the infatuation with her.
There's
you
were 12 teams.
Her,
12
you were bringing her up all tournament. Mm-hmm. All she does is knock down an open 3-pointer every now and then, and plays tough.
Dude, two draft picks on that Iowa team. All right. I mean, that's.
Well, that center what, will be eventually.
We're talking about that. We're talking about that Disney movie.
Did you see the girl from Utah?
Mm-mm.
What's her name?
Man,
she's a load.
WNBA player?
She is. She's a big woman, bro.
Are you allowed to say that?
She is.
Alyssa Pila or Pili?
Yeah, Pila or Pili.
Yes.
Pili.
She was putting up
Alyssa
like.
Alyssa Pili.
Bro.
It's about the physicality, and she said that. That's her words.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Well,
dude, she's out there playing football.
Oh, yeah.
And then they said she's one of the best offensive players in the game,
but somebody,
right behind Caitlin Clark.
But somebody
like,
said.
She's got game, too,
they've
Brad.
Never seen a highlight video of the same layup.
She was picked number 8th. Boy,
yeah,
she's got
she went
some.
High, man.
But, like, look up her highlights. It's the same
layup. Oh, boy.
She doesn't get off the ground.
And she that's a Z-Bo game.
Bro, she uses the physicality.
Oh, Alyssa Pili, yeah, there's no doubt.
She's got an exotic leg tattoo as well. That is some art.
Part Samoan.
Oh, yeah, it's a Samoan style.
Stuff,
yeah.
And stuff going
she's
on.
She's actually
as well.
Part of the bloodline with Roman and. She is, bro. She is.
Bro.
She is. She's a beast, man. She's a beast.
You're going to get canceled.
I'm telling you.
She is, man. Not saying that she's.
You're going to get
canceled. Messing with her.
I'm kidding. I was kidding. I was kidding.
I mean,
don't. I was joking.
Look, I am absolutely.
I shouldn't have brought her up.
No.
There is no question.
You're going to respond
of anybody on this station, I run the highest risk of anybody getting canceled.
I was only joking around with you, John.
But, no, I mean, look, it's a watch every week that this show airs. It's a cancel watch. And sometimes it will escalate to a warning. But if you look up her YouTube, her
I'm
highlights.
Watching them.
It's the same turnaround layup.
It's effective, though.
Bro,
it's a low
center gravity.
We're
not taking her in the league if she didn't have anything else in the bag.
Oh, it's effective.
She got some more in the bag.
It's effective. She creates space. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
She takes up mass. I mean, that's.
She's looking
that's
for
part
the contact.
Of her, that's part of her game. That is her game. It's not part of it. It is her game.
That's right.
You know, I mean, it's.
And let Caitlin Clark come and try to get the ball and watch what happens to her.
Man, Caitlin Clark is not going to be
destroyed.
On Alyssa Pili.
She's going to get destroyed.
Man, let Pili come out there and guard us.
You little Prada-wearing girl.
Come outside.
And let me tell
come
you
outside,
what, we'll
Alyssa.
Do to, what we'll do to Mule, too.
Come outside.
Oh, Nika Mule. We'll run her over.
Come out.
We'll show it's a grown woman's game is what it is.
Well,
this ain't no little girl game.
Because all she's doing is putting the ball in from 2 feet.
Man,
bro.
Stop. They said she has as much of a bag as Caitlin does, except doesn't have the deep shot.
Man, get out of here.
So she can't have just the layup, bro.
Dog.
With folks saying, Drea said that about her yesterday.
Man, that is.
And by the way, she's on the rise, too.
That is.
The young lady, Drea. What's her
name? Captain Planet.
The former Tennessee standout.
Captain America. Okay.
Carter? Is it Carter?
Handicap. That is big cap from Andrea Carter. That she has the same bag as like Caitlin Clark.
Andrea's been fantastic addition to
Caitlin this Clark's bag is $17,000 worth. All right. Y'all saw that yesterday.
Again, you heard Benson. The look was just okay. We're giving it big points because it's Prada.
It's the first.
It was just okay.
Bro, Prada said we need to outfit this woman. And I can't deny it. I can't deny this woman's star power. She's on Saturday Night Live. She's got Prada on. She's got everybody watching
State
the draft.
Farm.
Is that the boyfriend she hugged when she got drafted there?
She's dating Fran McCaffrey's son, one of his sons.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah. I can't remember which one, Patrick or Connor.
They clearly strategized before the draft. They went with the straight hug so that they couldn't make a big deal of the kiss. Very synchronized.
Yeah, no, I mean.
I was doing that, too, trying to figure out who's boyfriend, who's brother.
Yeah, there was a
not
bro
with Caitlin,
there,
but
and there
later,
was a.
But
yeah.
later on, I don't know. Maybe that,
no,
I don't
you,
do
Jason.
That with men's drafts, but I was with this one.
Same. Same.
Yeah, does that make us?
Yeah, for sure.
No,
anything?
No.
I don't
it's
think
just
it
you're
makes
trying to get it squared up.
It's not.
I'm trying to figure out boyfriend or brother, and you can tell usually with
Here.
The dap. You know,
if as long we're trying to be educated, we're not trying.
Thank
to,
you.
You know what I'm saying? We're not trying to like presume or assume. We're trying to like know.
That's
we,
right.
We want to educate ourselves on okay, who's who, and you know what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, you assumed everybody liked Caitlin's look because it was Prada. You assumed
there's just no whether you liked it or hated it. It's undeniable.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.